This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
The gang is all here. That's Wes Durham, Chester Fuller, Robert. It's Captain Ron. Captain Ron's
Captain
over there.
Ron's still
playing.
Here.
He's over there with the drone.
Yeah.
Otto saw him earlier. He is. Woo.
Big day for Otto yesterday,
I
huh?
I think Otto might be a Kentucky fan. I think he got a head start. Just saying.
So, who all had St. Peter's, right? Not you.
I had Kentucky in the Final Four.
I didn't have them that far.
I'm wearing Kentucky blue in honor of that effort last night.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Thought that was solid, did you?
That was, I tell you what, the madness, the tournament, you knew it was going to be great, right?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
Man, it starts with a bang. Four double-digit seeds
yeah.
win.
Yeah,
St. Peter's,
right.
By the way, to look it up, where are they from? Didn't even know they were from Jersey City. Had no earthly idea.
Do you remember Shaheen Holloway as a
yeah,
player? Okay, you
do,
remember him as a player.
I do, but okay. I was like, I don't even know where these dudes were from. But they yeah. were awesome last night. And there were some other major scares. We saw an 11 win, no surprise. We saw a couple 12s win.
Yeah. New Mexico State.
Aggies.
You got to like a school, by the way, that's got their own beer, their own whiskey, and their own wine.
How are they a 12 seed?
With that kind of firepower, right? You got to like a school like that, right?
But it was just great, right? I mean, the crowds were great. The games were wild. The Tar Heels, we'll get to the Heels and everybody
Holy
playing today.
Smokes.
The Heels were
Golden
good.
State, you mean?
They were good.
Yeah, they were.
They were stupid good. But we'll get into all that stuff. But it was just an awesome
Spiders.
Day. Right? How about Richmond, right? They got to beat Davidson just to get in the tournament. Bobby Phillips, great coach. They win the A-10, and then they just roll out there and say, oh, Iowa, you guys from the Big Ten?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a really good league again, right? You guys have how many teams in the tournament? Nine? You're the best of the nine? Oh, cool. Watch this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what happens in the tournament. Crazy stuff. But this has been – yesterday I thought was the perfect snapshot
right.
of this season, Wes. I mean, it just – it shouldn't surprise you. It really should.
No, not at all. And I agree with you on that. I think that – we anticipated the volatility of the regular season in college basketball carrying into the event. And here's the trick. If you watch our show on a regular basis, you know we talk a lot about college basketball. And despite the trials and tribulations of the ACC, we've been talking about the entire landscape of college basketball and how it might be pretty interesting once we got to the tournament. Well, imagine the, you know, general sports fan of college basketball that just kind of dialed in yesterday and went down the line with the bracket, right? And then all of a sudden, New Mexico State pops up. Number one, they've got to double check to make sure it's in New Mexico.
Right.
Okay. The second thing is St. Peter's. They had no idea where St. Peter's was. And Murray State, they probably want to know if Bill Murray found a school or something. So bottom line is, you're getting ready to see this again today, too, in my opinion. I think it's going to happen again. I don't know where it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. It might be Wright State. It better not be for a lot of brackets, Wright State, but it could be. Scott Nagy's a really good basketball coach. I'll be honest with you. It could be Yale. That guy does a great job. I mean, so we'll see. It was fascinating television yesterday to watch. And I had a hard time last night. I was talking to a friend of mine. I had a hard time last night picking out which one was my favorite. St. Peter's, that was just unbelievable watching that team. Shaheen Holloway, who was a terrific player at Seton Hall. For Tommy Amaker, by the way.
That's right.
And his team played. How much poise did they play with late?
I say this all the time in what I do for a living.
Yep.
Which is try to talk about everybody, whether it be on radio on a national basis or ACC here.
Right.
I don't care who wins the games. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Just entertain me. And this tournament is so perfect for that description because it's coming. And that's why you grab your popcorn at noon and you put your feet up if you can and just go, okay, you may get some dogs. We had some 30-point wood shedders yesterday, including the Tar Heels and their effort, which we're going to get to.
How about St. Mary's in Indiana?
Right. I mean, Indiana looked like they've never played the game of basketball before last night. So, but you put your feet up and you just know it's coming, right? You just know it's coming. And that is the beauty of this tournament.
Yep.
And the fact that we now have fans rocking and rolling, doing their thing, I just thought it was spectacular.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's no telling what we're going to get today. And it goes back to what we discussed earlier this week when I told you when we're filling out a bracket, you do one, you spend less than 2 minutes, and I keep telling everybody every year, By Friday night, your bracket will be in the trash. And amen, brother. That's where we are.
Yeah. My brother sent me a text yesterday. He said, after I think the St. Peter's game ended. Yeah, right around then he goes, also, welcome to Why Packer Does His Brackets in 2 minutes.
Right.
Kentucky on line one.
Right. I mean, and I sat there last night laughing, going, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. I mean, it was just crazy. And, you know, who knows what the script will be? And that's the beauty of the tournament. But, you know, right now, if I hear one more person tell me how the Mountain West Conference is better than the ACC this year, I'm ready to throw up.
Congratulations. Well, I'll do that. We're early.
Well, congratulations to the Mountain West Conference. You guys had four in advance. You're already on the couch.
All of them.
All four.
Yeah.
And they're 0-8 in the last three NCAA tournaments. I'm tired of hearing about Boise State, San Diego State, Colorado State, Wyoming. Hey, nice teams, but let's cut the nonsense. Eventually, you got to win a game in the tournament.
The one I picked to advance, the only one of those I picked to advance, by the way, was Colorado State.
And they lost an 11. Mm-hmm. The 11s are dangerous. I said that the other day.
Michigan.
And they were losing in halftime.
Yeah, showed up.
Came back and shoved. That might have been the highlight of the Big Ten. That or either the cheerleader. The cheerleader was the best thing of the night before St. Peter's hit. The ball gets stuck way up top, and a 5'2" referee thinks he's going to get on the chair with a broom handle. I mean, look, dude, you could be there forever before you get that ball down. And then the cheerleader comes in. She was awesome.
Yeah.
What a night. It was just a great day and night of entertainment.
A lot of NCAA really engineering went into that operation.
I thought it was an awesome day.
All right. But arguably the best-looking basketball team in 40 minutes yesterday was an 8 seed.
Well, they were after the first – look, there was – I'm going to be completely honest. There was a stretch in about the first 5 minutes of the North Carolina Marquette game.
Yeah.
I thought I was watching a Virginia scrimmage. I mean, it was clang, turnover,
sure,
clang.
Right.
Like, was anybody going to score?
That's right.
But once North Carolina got into a rhythm.
Shaka Smart had havoc, and here was the problem. He was pressuring into the front court. He was pressuring at the timeline, and Carolina was hitting the open guy. And when they moved the ball as crisply as they did after the first 5 minutes, every time you turned around, Carolina had an open shot. And guess what happened?
He made it.
A 32-point win. 95-63.
And who was the catalyst yesterday, Wes?
Caleb Love.
And who said yesterday the key to the game for North Carolina was going to be?
Caleb Love. Mark Packer.
I did.
Yeah.
He was good yesterday, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he was good. Holy cow, look at this. I mean, it's not even hitting the rim, Pack.
No, I had a sense that that last shooting effort in Brooklyn, which wasn't great, I figured he was going to bomb away.
Look at that. I mean, look how wide open these cats are, though, Mark.
Heels look good yesterday, man. Now the key is going to be, can you piece together back-to-backs, right? We've been talking about that a lot this year in North Carolina. And they're going to have to, because tomorrow at 12:10 p.m. Eastern Time on CBS, North Carolina is going to take on the number one seed Baylor Bears, who really looked good yesterday, as they should.
The number one seed.
As they should.
They've never played either.
I saw that stat. That surprised me. I just thought at some point in time they had seen each other.
Here's the bracket. Norfolk State, thanks for coming by.
And yeah, then you expect that, but I mean, Baylor looked the part yesterday.
Baylor did
North Carolina.
Yep. So that sets up a 1-8. By the way, they're just going to clear the deck on television. That'll be the premier game starting your day.
And get a good picture of that, because there's a lot of chalk there, which it was very unusual.
Yep.
Yesterday,
bottom of the bracket, UCLA.
They struggled last night.
Had some battles with John Gross. John Gross is coaching them up again.
UCLA was down 8. With about 4 or 5 minutes ago in that game last night, and you got a sense that, hey, nobody's scoring here. 8 felt like 15.
Yeah.
Sure did.
I had a bracket hanging on it.
I ain't worried about no stinking brackets. I keep telling you, 2 minutes, they're in the trash by Friday.
Well, I'd at least like to have some rooting interest here as we move along.
Doesn't matter. If you've got all four in the Final Four, nobody cares about that anyhow.
Let's go to Hubert Davis after the game, who was asked something that kind of he's been asked about all season long.
When there was that altercation at half court, kind of midway through the first half, it seemed as though you turned to your bench to really encourage them and get them fired up. Is that accurate? And kind of what?
Yes.
What was your intent there?
My intent is to continue to fight. That plain and simple. Period. The end. That if someone is trying to push us around, we're gonna push back. If they're gonna elbow, we'll elbow them back. If they're going to kick us, we're going to kick them back. I've been clear and definitive to the guys about what we need to do out there on the floor. And there's been a number of times where teams have tried to push us around. And the only way that you can change that narrative of people thinking that they can do that is that you swing back or you be the first one to swing. And so I told the guys before the game, I said, there's three types of people. There's people that don't want to fight, there's people that do want to fight, and there's people that looking for a fight. And I said, I want a bunch of guys, 17 guys in the locker room that are looking for a fight as we go out there and compete. And that's what they did. And I'm very, very, very proud of them.
Largest point differential by an 8 seed in NCAA tournament game. 13 threes. These are all Carolina marks. 13 threes, most in any tournament game in program history. Brady Manick, first ever Tar Heel with 25, 10, and 5 threes. R.J. Davis, 12 assists. Tied for second most. Kendall Marshall had a game where he had 14 assists one time in an NCAA tournament game for Carolina. Here's the one thing. If we've followed Carolina throughout the year, obviously doing this program like we do everybody, but it has become readily evident that Hubert Davis is going to play in press conferences with no filter. He's telling you exactly how he feels. If he's emotional, he'll share that with you. But if he is direct with his team, he's going to tell you. And yesterday, I think it was Greg Barnes inside Carolina asking the question. Hubert Davis is direct. His team, his program that he was an assistant of, may have copped a reputation of being a little bit soft and people were going to try and be physical with him. That's not happening now, it looks like, or it didn't happen yesterday for sure.
Well, you better be ready for the fight tomorrow because it's going to be no joke. It's going to be no joke tomorrow because Baylor is a great defensive team. I know they've got two starters out for that game. It doesn't matter. They lost four from last year's national championship team, and here they are as a one seed. Scott Drew's got a terrific program, and they got a bunch of great athletes.
Yep.
And so they are going to get in your grill. So, you know, Hubert kind of set the tone for not only did they heels play well, which they did, but you better be ready to go tomorrow. First game out of the block. As I said, 12:10 tomorrow afternoon on CBS. And this is a bunch of true big-time athletes on the floor. No question.
Other notes to share with you. Let's go to the ladies' side in terms of the ACC. Florida State was in a play-in game last night in Palo Alto. 11-11 situation, or Spokane, I should say. The Spokane region. Wasn't it Palo Alto where they were playing? I think it was, right?
All I know is a loss.
They did lose. 61-50, the final. Missouri State, the winner. That's a Missouri Valley champion. Oh, they did play in Baton Rouge. I apologize. Spokane region in Baton Rouge.
We'll eventually get the right times in on this.
We'll hit, you know, there are only, what, 8 of them?
I mean, they're not in Bridgeport to play Connecticut either?
No.
Shocking.
But 61-50 is the final. Florida State scoring 50 or fewer in a game for the third time this season. Unfortunately, the season's going to come to an end on 27% shooting. That'll do it.
Yeah, you're not going to shoot 27% in this tournament in advance. The third quarter was the bugaboo. They were tied up at halftime, 21-10. They get outscored in the third period, and then the rest is history.
Yep.
Florida State, again, Sue, as she's told us, steadily improving. They got in the dance, which was – now, win against BC in the ACC tournament put him in, for sure. But the stay was not long for the Knolls.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up.
Yes! Christian, first to you, congratulations on what we tried to do on the last shot.
Well, thank you. We just set a good play. Grant made a great pass. When it went in, I couldn't believe it. That happened to me twice in a career. It was just incredible.
Did you feel he wouldn't foul you? You were safe taking the shot?
I thought if I create some distance, they wouldn't foul me, no. Because we've been shooting our free throws real well all day.
What are you trying to do on that last shot? Oh, I don't know. Maybe make it? Yesterday, Charles Barkley at halftime of the Iowa game, they're having their little round table.
Sure.
They asked Charles Barkley, what do you think Iowa should do in the second half? He said, I think Iowa just needs to play better. Can I use that one for the rest of my life? Pack, what do you think was wrong with Team X? Well, you know, hey,
play better.
They just need to play better.
That's it. timely hitting and good pitching will win you championships, right? The old baseball adage.
Yeah, you know, Florida State, what do you think happened to Florida State last night, Pac? Just got to play better.
Can't shoot 28%.
What are we doing?
The Blue Devils take the floor today at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena in Greenville. They will meet the Titans of Cal State Fullerton 10 minutes after 7 o'clock tonight on CBS.
I bet our 2 seed wins today.
I would think so. Coach K talked yesterday about his team seemed faster. They've had 3 good days of practice. Best winning percentage in the NCAA tournament, 114 wins. So we'll see where Duke ends up today. This is quite a moment now because the finality of this is setting in, right? The finality of all of this is starting to set in. You know, some thought Duke played with, you know, kind of the pressure of all this at times this year. Do you agree with that?
I don't know about all that. I just think that defensively they haven't been very good down the stretch.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's got anything to do with finality or Coach K's last game. I think that's got to basically Duke just needs to play better.
Yeah. The scary part for Blue Devil fans, this is the 10-year anniversary of C.J. McCollum and Lehigh in the Greensboro Coliseum.
I was there that night.
Really?
I was there that night. Because you got to remember, North Carolina and Duke were in Greensboro together. The Heels played in the afternoon.
They did.
Duke started the night session. So there were a lot of North Carolina fans that were like, yeah, we'll just go watch Duke for a little bit. And then here goes Lehigh.
And they didn't leave.
And like they were like, man, Lehigh's hanging in there. Man, Lehigh's got the lead.
Yeah.
And by late in that game, it was a Lehigh home game in Greensboro.
Yeah.
10 years ago. It's hard to believe it was 10 years ago.
If you kind of need to know the essence of the Carolina-Duke rivalry at
times, that was it.
The best place to see it play out is not necessarily when they play each other. It's when they get in the same sub-region.
Yep. That happened.
That's when you get that. And it started in 1979 at Reynolds Coliseum on Black Sunday because Carolina played the first game against Penn. And late in that game at Reynolds Coliseum, the Duke fans kind of joined in behind the Quakers and all the other stuff, right? Well, Carolina fans despondent and disappointed at the upset loss to Penn, who later went to the Final Four, by the way. They vacated the building, only then to hear about St. John's and Duke going to the wire. And apparently some worked their way back in the building since it was the same session to watch the end of that game. And I'm telling you now, you want to see a different side of the whole Duke-Carolina deal?
Yeah.
That's the place to do it. It's like in Greensboro.
No doubt. And it was crazy. I mean, they were in North Carolina. I just remember North Carolina fans. Lehigh had, I can't remember what it was. Lehigh had some kind of signs or something. North Carolina fans were like, man, God, he won those signs. I'm like, they were everywhere. And again, you get that kind of vibe, just like you were watching Kentucky last night with St. Peter's, and you're like, hey, man, you know what? They're not shaking this group. And
right.
That 15 seed starts to believe that, hey, you know what? We're just as good as these guys. So I think if you're Duke in this game with Cal State Fullerton, you absolutely cut their head off.
Yeah.
You just make sure early, hey, no, not today. Mm-hmm. We'll catch you boys later.
Miami also takes the floor this afternoon, 3 o'clock. The Canes are on the floor in Greenville against Southern California.
Good game.
Yeah, really good game and going to be really interesting to watch. Some of these 10-7s yesterday were pretty interesting.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I think you've got – this kind of matchup kind of pops off the page here a little bit. Miami's guards, the veteran presence, McGusty Wong, Charlie Moore, against the length and to a degree some of the experience that USC has, and Andy Enfield does a really good job with the Trojans. Pack, somehow or another, I think this thing's incumbent upon the way those three guys guide Miami today.
There's no question about it. These guards are big time, and I just hope this 10-7 is as interesting as that Murray State-San Francisco thing last night, which was out of sight. But this is a contrast of styles. This is why I think it's a fascinating game to watch. And I will just tell you, I mean, you get great guard play.
Right.
You can win some games in this tournament.
Yeah.
I think that's what Miami's going to count on.
Well, in Miami, 18 of their 32 decided by one or two possessions. So they're comfortable if this thing gets late and it's tight. I thought one of the things that kind of showed itself yesterday was some of these favorites, when the games got down to the wire a little bit, you saw turnover here, missed pass, front end to one and ones, those type things. That doesn't faze Miami very much.
You know what else doesn't faze Miami? Falling behind by double digits.
Yeah.
We have seen that so many times this year. Ask Syracuse. How many times does Syracuse have these dudes down 16, 18, whatever, and then come back and win games? They're not going to flinch if it gets off to a tough start. But it's a really, really interesting matchup given the contrast of styles.
Okay, Notre Dame or Virginia Tech, take your pick here. Which one of the 11s you want to preview here?
Doesn't matter.
All right, let's go Notre Dame. Since they're coming off the double overtime win, they travel to the West Coast. They get 6-seed Alabama, 4:15 Eastern time. They'll be at the Aztec Bowl at San Diego State. These two teams combined to average 18 or more three-point field goals per game.
Well, we know Notre Dame's theory, right? Even though they went totally against it. They went totally against everything we talked about in Dayton, right? They didn't make 10 or more threes. In fact, they did the exact opposite. They went to the paint. I'll just say this with Alabama. The Tide, I have said this on the radio, I think they're the weirdest team in college basketball.
Yes.
When they're good, they're great.
Yep.
When they're not good, they can be abysmal. They are a weird team. Mm-hmm. And anybody that's good enough to beat Baylor and to beat Gonzaga and to beat Houston – Hey, this team's good enough to get to the Final Four. They're also inept enough to lose somehow to Georgia. So, you know, I don't know what you're going to get with the Tide. I do worry about Notre Dame's legs. Late game, double overtime, tons of energy, and I'm not giving you excuses. I'm just telling you what the facts are. They don't come flying into San Diego till early, about 24 hours ago they arrived.
Right.
So, you know, they got to get off their feet, get jacked up, and let's rip. And Bama's going to throw a bunch of athletes on them. But to me, this game is two things. Number one, is Notre Dame going to give me the typical 10 or more threes? If they do, I like their chances. Do they run out of gas? That's going to be an issue coming down the second half of this game. And what do you get with Alabama? I have no earthly idea. Like I said, if Alabama gives me an A effort, Notre Dame's in trouble.
Right.
I don't care what the Irish do. If Alabama's kind of sketchy, like, hey, they're going to be all over the place, Notre Dame can win the game.
Yeah.
So it would not shock me to see 11 beat a 6.
I think the again, we talked about those three guards at Miami. I think the veteran players at Notre Dame become really important today. Prentice Hubb, Dane Goodwin, Nate Leszewski. Paul Atkinson they said this the other night, he's the only guy that had any NCAA tournament experience, I think, discernible experience. How does that work to Notre Dame's advantage against an Alabama team? And here's the thing. If you're watching the game today from an ACC interest, get ready for Alabama to have like a 5-minute sequence where they are lights out. And then they'll throw a 7-minute sequence at you where they can't hit a shot and they can't hold on to the basketball. Notre Dame has to play as wide open as it got at times the other night. They've got to play with a degree of patience today. Packy, it's one of those things, if you just kind of keep plodding along here, I think you got a chance to win the ball game.
I do too. I mean, 11s and 6s, it's really no big deal.
Right.
I mean, at this day and age of college basketball – and the fact that Notre Dame's gotten a chance to get wet, if you will, jumping in the pool, winning that game the other night by double overtime, they're comfortable from that perspective. But I do worry that if it becomes an up-and-down game.
Yeah.
Are your legs good to go? Because, you know, you finished up past midnight the other night, fly across country, if you will, and now you got 24 hours to get ready for a really talented Alabama team. That's a big taking. That's a task.
All right, the champs are last in the quick synopsis here. 11th seed Virginia Tech, number 6 Texas. 4:30 this afternoon, and UC BPI has got it basically as a pick 'em.
And it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Look, first time they've ever played. Chris Beard, first year in Austin. You know what Mike Young's done in the last week. He played Texas 18 years ago in December of 2002. The Hokies averaged 74 points and shot 49% from the floor in Brooklyn to win the tournament. That kind of number has to happen today. It's that simple, in my opinion, for Virginia Tech.
Well, the question becomes, can they take the mojo of the late season run, the incredible effort in Brooklyn, and do you get that for this tournament? If so, I like their chances a bunch. As I said to you earlier this week, I thought Chris Beard's team was kind of leaking oil down the stretch.
Yeah.
But they're still really talented. But I think Virginia Tech takes their chances with the way they're playing. I think they're playing with supreme confidence.
Let's take a quick look at that bracket here real quick in the East Regional here to show you that Big Blue kind of opened the door last night for Purdue, but also for the winner of the ball game between the Hokies and the Longhorns this afternoon. I think it's a really – whoever ends up playing in that second-round game at the top of that bracket pack, that is a fascinating game.
Can you imagine if Virginia Tech and Yale win today? You're going to go into a weekend with your – with your 7 seed, your 11 seed, your 14, and your 15 seed.
Right.
Welcome to March Madness.
Yeah. Sidebar to that, how do you think the old Baylor Bears are looking at this game sitting in Fort Worth on the off day today, knowing that they're in the same region with the Horns? They tend to get along just fine from time to time.
Well, they're in the same league, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
At least for now.
Yeah, for now. That's a good point. We'll see what happens here. I'm kind of excited to see what Virginia Tech has, as you said, from a momentum standpoint as they get ready to
I expect them to play well.
I do, too.
I think
Keve Aluma is a really difficult matchup for Texas.
I agree. Totally agree with that. But I think the fact that, you know, they didn't just catch fire in Brooklyn. They've been good for a while getting that momentum to get to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, Maddox shot set the scene for beating 1, 2, and 3 in the league.
That guy is really important today.
Oh, count on it.
I think that guy is critical to the Hokies' success.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. Your lucky number is 588 today, by the way. 588. And if you're smart, seriously, if you're an investor and you're smart, you would absolutely buy all kinds of bourbon stock today because there's not a happier place in the world than Louisville, Kentucky. Why do I say that? Number one, today, Kenny Payne gets announced as your new head coach.
That's right.
Number two, Kentucky's on the couch watching it.
There you go.
After getting bumped by St. Peter's. So yeah. buy bourbon stock today.
Buy bourbon stock today. Well done. Well said. Nicely done. Good business tip.
That's
not
it.
Surprising.
Me to you for free.
Yeah, for free. You didn't charge for that one.
Nothing.
Let's pivot over to the women's side of the house. And we're going to go to Raleigh Wood America, ladies and gentlemen. We're standing by one of the all-time great three-point shooters in Atlantic Coast Conference women's basketball history. Kelly Gramlich is there. Good to see you. How are you?
Well, high praise there, Wes. Hello, gentlemen. Really blown away by the Peacocks and what they did last night. That was quite amazing. The madness is off to a maddening start. Mm-hmm. And in my first four games last night, we almost had madness. We had a Longwood got up 22-5, and then Mount St. Mary's and Brian Brzee's sister, Kendall Brzee, almost came back and won the thing. So madness is in full force.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's go to the Wolfpack because NC State is just somebody who we got to talk about here. Three-time champs. They've, you know, they're saying all the right things. I know they don't like the draw. But Kelly, you got to win two games to get to the draw. We're not even there yet. You're going to have to win three to get to the game everybody's talking about that really doesn't impact the way they take the floor in Raleigh here. You're going to be around the practice sessions today. What do you think the mentality is like for where NC State is based on Sunday? Because I get the impression it's all anybody wants to talk about, and sometimes that's not a good thing.
Oh, Wes, I have so many thoughts on this situation here. First of all, I think that NC State is not pleased with the draw to be in Connecticut's region and have to play in Bridgeport, Connecticut when they eventually get there. If they do, to your point, they've got to win some games. I don't think they like it, but I don't think they're afraid. I want to be very clear about that. I think a lot of people nationally who maybe haven't paid as much attention to the ACC, and for some reason, guys, look, I don't think the ACC has gotten the respect that it deserves, especially in the seeding with 3-5 seeds, but that's a whole other can of worms. I think that NC State is not pleased just because you're going to have to play Connecticut in front of Connecticut fans, and that's not fair as a one seed. Mm-hmm. But do they think they can't beat Connecticut? No. I mean, I think Connecticut is beatable. And this is not a UConn of a couple years ago. UConn has not won a national title since 2016, okay? They have made the Final Four during those stretches. Last year, they almost lost to Baylor. It was a very close game, and then they lost in the Final Four. But this is a team with Paige Beckers who only played 8 minutes in the Big East Championship game. We'll see how she looks. She has some time as they, if they're able to advance and kind of work her way back in, but they haven't had a full roster together for most of the season. So I still have NC State coming out of that region and getting past UConn, even in Bridgeport. But Wes, they do need to, they've got Longwood who looked pretty darn good yesterday in the first four with Akilah Smith, who's a really good player inside. And then they have the winner of Kansas State, Washington State, two good teams. Kansas State has Ioka Lee, the 6'6" phenom inside All-American who had 61 points, set an NCAA record against Oklahoma earlier in the year. So I'm personally very excited for whoever NC State gets if they do beat Longwood, which I think they will. But the Ioka Lee-Elisa Kunane matchup could be just must-watch television on Monday. So they do have some good matchups in front of them. They also possibly could play Notre Dame in the Sweet 16. The committee put a bunch of teams in this bracket that NC State already played. They've already played Washington State and Kansas State, and they'll get the winner of that game. They already played Indiana, who's in this bracket. They've already played Notre Dame. So I think NC State overall is – it's kind of weird, but they know what to expect from these teams because they have a lot of experience against teams in this region.
Kelly, I got to be honest with you. I am so tired of men and women who are complaining about the seed. Oh, the committee's out to get us. There's a bias. There's a personal vendetta. They put us – hush. Go play. You're in. You're in. Once you're in, you got a chance. It doesn't matter if you're a 1 seed, a 16 seed, or anywhere in between. Let's go play. I think we got too much time for both the men and the women's tournament. There's always like, there's 48 hours for the men. There's about 72 hours for the ladies where you hear all this whining about no respect. They don't know what they're doing. The committee, hush, you're in. Let's go play. I mean, the games with the men yesterday were spectacular. All of a sudden, we had totally forgotten about personal vendettas and the three line. Like, it just dissipated into thin air. Same thing with the women. We've talked about this NC State UConn thing. Hey, how about both of you be good enough to get to that game, which is about another week and a half from now? So I'm tired of hearing about all this. Let's get to the games, which means when I think of Kelly Gramlich, I sense like Florida Gulf Coast, Virginia Tech, first to heave up 35 threes. That's what I'm sensing. I don't care about Bridgeport. I'm talking about the games. That's what matters the most.
We talking about practice. That's what you sound like right now, Pat. We talking about the games, right? Like Allen Iverson. So, okay, this Virginia Tech Florida Gulf Coast game, it may be my favorite NCAA tournament basketball game of history. Okay, I am super excited for this game. Florida Gulf Coast is going to go out there, and I mean, they you have to watch this game as a viewer because you really haven't seen anything like Florida Gulf Coast. They run and gun. They want to shoot the ball in the first 10 seconds of the shot clock, and they want to shoot a three. It's unbelievable to watch. And then Virginia Tech, they shoot the three ball really, really well. And they're coming off an ACC tournament where they played great. So I think this is a tough matchup for Virginia Tech to draw, but I think it's very winnable. Here's something that people won't be talking about because they're looking at this game. It's a 12-5, and this is a super popular upset pick. I called the Florida Gulf Coast Michigan game last year. I believe that was a 12-5. It may have been a 13-4. And Florida Gulf Coast was a popular pick then. Here's the issue. Kirsten Bell, who's their do-it-all player, who was at Ohio State, transferred there. She's going to be a WNBA draft pick. She's about 6'1". She averages like 25-8. She is their 5 player, though. She has to guard Liz Kittley. I don't know how that's going to work. She had to guard Nas Hillman when they played Michigan last year in that game I called. And it just wore them down. She was able to put up a fight early, but she could not hang with Nas Hillman defensively. And then she's going to have to guard Liz Kittley. Liz Kittley's 6'6". Liz Kittley's the ACC player of the year. Like, put some respect on her name. I don't know how they're going to guard Kittley down the stretch. That's what I'm super curious to see in this game. So I still think Virginia Tech wins. I get that it's a trendy pick. But Liz Kittley's on the floor. Now, the other big question, guys, Liz Kittley bruised her shoulder, sprained it, is what I was told at the ACC tournament. That was 10 days ago. How ready to go is she? That's a big question. They have been they've been keeping that on the DL down there in Blacksburg. But if she's 80-90% of herself, I still think Virginia Tech gets this done.
All right, then the other top seed in the ACC goes today at 6 o'clock, and that's Louisville at home against Albany. And I got to believe that by the time they get to 6 o'clock at the Yum Center tonight, Jeff Walls is going to have everybody set dead on red because it's been a long time since Destiny Harden hit the turnaround to win the game, Kelly. I mean, a long time. And that's a long, painful wait for Walls.
Yes, that is a long, painful wait for this Louisville team. And if you watch that Harden buzzer beater, which I've watched it a bunch because it's epic, zoom in on HVL, on Haley Van Lith. She contests the shot, and then she does this. Because she can't believe it. Because she, I mean, that was an amazing shot by Destiny Harden. And we all thought Louisville was going to be in the championship game, that we thought it was going to be Louisville NC State. So I think this Louisville team is going to be highly motivated. I feel good about them in this Wichita region. Baylor's there too. Baylor lost to Texas in the Big 12 championship game. And Melissa Smith hyperextended her knee. She says she's good, but I think Baylor is very beatable right now. But Pac, you know, they got to get through their first portion of their schedule. But I think Louisville is just going to be locked in. And the way Inksler and HVL are playing, what they do defensively, and to be able to be in the Yum Center for those first two games, I expect Louisville to absolutely roll.
By the way, Chester did exactly the same thing Haley did. He put both paws in the face because that's his girl.
I'm sure he did.
By the way, since we're on that theme of the 5s, 12s,
right?
We have three ACC teams seated on that 5 line. How many of those three, how many of the three do you think survive the weekend? Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, North Carolina. How many survive the weekend?
Okay, I think North Carolina is the one that I feel most confident about. Arizona, who's their 4 in that pod, Kate Reese is their best player. She has a dislocated shoulder, and she's been out for a couple weeks. She's supposed to be back for this game and for these two games here, but Arizona has really struggled to score. They scored like 43 points in their one game in the Pac-12 tournament. So I think UNC rolls. And here's the thing, Pac, I know you want to focus on the games, but the ACC got completely disrespected. To have 3-5 seeds with how good UNC, Virginia Tech, and Notre Dame are, I thought that was ridiculous. I thought Virginia Tech at least should have been a 4. And I guess the ACC just has to go prove it. To your point, Pac, they got to go prove it. Virginia Tech, I think, got a pretty good draw. Florida Gulf Coast is a team, you know, it's a trendy pick. But Maryland hasn't played very well down the stretch, and they only have 7 healthy players. So I think that's a good draw for Virginia Tech if they can get by Florida Gulf Coast. Notre Dame is the one I'm a bit worried about just because they didn't play too well in the ACC tournament. And they're playing UMass, who is good. They have Sam Breen, a former Power 5 player who transferred to UMass, and they dethroned Dayton and won the A-10. So I'd be a little worried there for Notre Dame, and then you got to play Oklahoma if OU advances on their home floor. So I feel really good about UNC,
okay,
good about Virginia Tech, and I'm a little more worried for Notre Dame. That's the way I would rank the 5 seeds going in.
All right, give me a quick thought on the 8-seed Miami and the 9-seed Georgia Tech in these matchups they've got. Georgia Tech has to go a long way to play Kansas, and then obviously you get Stanford if you win the game. Miami's in the same situation. They got to go a long way, and they get South Carolina. Well, they got to go up the East Coast. Miami's got to go to Columbia, and they get South Carolina. So give me a thought on these 8-9s involving kind of the bottom of the ACC selection.
Right. The 8-9 is always a tough spot. Coach Muffin McGraw and I talk about this all the time. In the women's game, you know, the 1 seeds are generally absolutely dominant. A 2 seed is a little more gettable. So to be in the 8-9 game, you would rather be a 10 seed and be on the side of the bracket with a 2. You'd rather be a 10 seed. So the 8-9 is a tough spot. But just looking at those matchups, I love that we have a Miami-USF matchup, you know, for recruiting supremacy and for Florida supremacy and all that. Miami is one of the hottest teams in the country right now. I think Miami is going to be able to continue that momentum. Okay. And I would lean Miami in this game, even though South Florida is a very good program. But Destiny Harden, Kelsey Marshall, they are fifth-year COVID seniors. They came back to get this team to the tournament. And so to win a game would be huge for them. I think they're going to be highly motivated. And Jaleah Williams is playing really well, the freshman guard. I'm a little more worried about Georgia Tech because Kansas is a good team. And Kansas is a physical team that can bow up and be just as physical with Georgia Tech as Georgia Tech is with them. And Georgia Tech is, when you look at what they did in the ACC tournament, they did win a game, but they really struggled to score. That's been their biggest issue in February. Their defense, it has struggled a bit, but they're still going to bring it defensively. That's what they do. And Lorella Kubai is a matchup nightmare, but they have struggled to consistently score. And so that's my concern for them against Kansas, a team that can really score the ball. So I feel a little more confident about Miami than Georgia Tech, but Georgia Tech's rested. And this is a team that made a run in the tournament last year. And Lorella Kubai is a matchup nightmare.
All right, so the Raleigh region, ladies and gentlemen, that little quad of games, Kelly Gramlich, Sam Ravitch will be there for coverage on the family of networks, as they say, Pac.
I thought you're not supposed to say
that. Well, I just threw that in there at the end. So, Kelly, thank you. Have a great time. Tell all our Wolfpack friends hello.
I will. Super excited to be here at NC State. I have a view of the Bell Tower. I love this campus. I ran into Kinane on the sidewalk the other day. So, you know, we're already off to a great start.
Block or charge?
Block or charge?
I said, ma'am, are you Elisa Kinane? And she was thrown up by that. And then she was like, hey, Kelly, what's up? So, you know, she's just walking around campus.
There you go. All right. Be well. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
You know, from time to time, we joke around about, you know, like the huddle after dark during football season, Pack, or nothing but net after dark.
Clubbing with the net.
Clubbing with the net. That's exactly what it is. Tonight, all ACC Saturday morning.
Because you can't say tonight because it's actually tomorrow.
It's tomorrow morning. At 12:30 a.m., following completion of coverage of the NCAA Men's and Women's Basketball Championship, late night, can't get to sleep, been up all day, you're checking your bracket, flip over to All ACC. They will chronicle the day on both the men's and women's side at the NCAA Basketball Championships right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't sleep, hey, we got you covered with live programming.
Yeah.
Tomorrow at 12:30 a.m.
We should do that show one night.
I could.
Yeah.
I can handle that.
I'd probably be asleep and have to wake up and come on over, but that'd be okay.
The boys would be up.
Yeah, no doubt. Off to Bristol we go.
Smart people.
Wearing his Darrell Elston jersey. You don't have a Darrell Elston jersey on. I was told there would be a jersey today after the big win yesterday by the Bold Boys in Bashful Blue.
No, my Joe Forte jersey is somewhere in the attic.
Nice. By the way, who's the person on the back row?
Who's that back there with you?
I believe that's Rick.
Rick, welcome.
Are you sure about that, or are you just guessing?
I know it's Rick.
Oh, it's Rick. Okay.
Where's Rick's alma mater? Do we know?
Back row Rick. He's St. Peter's guy, isn't he?
He's a what?
St. Peter's guy.
Is he St. Peter's guy? Rick, do you have St. Peter's knocking
Buffalo. He's Buffalo guy.
Same difference.
Buffalo Bulls. Buffalo, St. Peter's. Same neighborhood.
It's all good.
Not really. All right, let's go. Over under with ladies and gentlemen, Brian Ives.
All righty, gentlemen. If the seeds hold in both the men's and women's tournament, the ACC would have three teams in the Elite Eight. Over under 2.5 ACC men's and women's teams in the Elite Eight.
Over.
Yeah, if the over-under were 3.5, I'm not sure I'd go there. But I'm going to go over as well.
Yeah, I think we can get 3 in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Combination men and women.
Sure.
Why not?
Yep. I'm going to do that. Over. How's that?
Are you taking the 3 expected seeds, or do we have a surprise in there?
Does it matter? The question is 2.5, Ives. I mean, if you want us to name the teams, and the question should be, could you guys name the teams in the Elite Eight? Come on, Ives. The question, you asked the question, we're listening. 2.5 is the number. We both said over.
Oh, bless you. Bless you, Brian. Go ahead. Let's go to the next question. We've given you the answer. It'd be in your best interest to go.
We changed the name of the game. Name that tune in 3 notes. It's 3.
Oh boy.
The new name will be over, under, and a follow-up. All righty. The next question.
They win one game by 500 points, and Ives wants to change the game. We've done 588 shows.
And he brought up Joe Forte, for heaven's sakes, who, you know, I think beat Tennessee in the Sweet 16 and Tulsa in Elite Eight or something like that.
Go ahead, Bruce Buckley.
Yeah. All righty.
You have no idea who we're talking about, and you throw Joe Forte at us. Go ahead.
We mentioned this earlier, but Notre Dame and Alabama average a combined 18.5 three-pointers per game. Over, under 16 combined threes for the Irish and Tied today.
Over.
Oh, you're going over this number?
Bombs away. Here we go. It's March Madness. The Irish, you know, they disappointed me the other night because I thought for sure they're going to have to make double digits to win. They didn't.
So you think this is the catch-up game?
Bombs away. Both of them. Bombs away. Over.
I question who's going to guard anybody in this game today. Seriously.
Let it rip.
I mean, unbelievable.
Got nothing to lose. It's a loser leave town.
There
match
you go.
From San
all
Diego.
Right. You going to go over?
Over.
All right. I'll
then
go.
Ives is going to ask it specifically. Good one. How many is he going to make? No, I'm not giving you that. It's over.
I'll go over as well, but I don't think it'll be much over. Somebody's going to go frozen cold on the floor for this.
All right, we'll see.
Perfect. All righty. On the other end of the spectrum, this weekend in the National Invitational Tournament, we have Virginia and North Texas. These are the two slowest-paced teams in the entire country, 357 and 358. over under 120 points.
Wait a minute. I don't mean to interrupt. Is that true?
Yeah. Yes, it is the
357 and 358. Yeah,
the mean green walks it up the floor every time.
Oh,
that is the slowest matchup KenPom has on record between two teams.
Yeah.
So my question, watch this game?
You can.
Over,
it's on
over
TV.
Under 120 points.
I don't mean to screw up the entire segment by any run being.
You want me to tell you what time it is?
Who's got that game?
I don't know, but
I finally found True.
I could.
After
it took you a while. It took you a while to find True. That game is Sunday.
Oh, good.
And it is it's 6 o'clock on ESPN Plus.
ESPN Plus. I think I get that as an employee.
You
don't
do, yeah. No, it's not comp, but you get it, yes.
Oh, it's not comp.
No, it's not comp. You have to pay for it. Ives, okay. 357 and 358. So we're saying 120 combined? Under.
Correct.
Under.
You know what, though? This game will go like triple overtime.
No, it won't. No.
Triple overtime, 54-52.
Look at that. Look at that thing of beauty right there. Look at that thing of beauty.
I did not know that. I knew Virginia could give it to you. I didn't know anything about North Texas. I really didn't.
Do you know it's where Mean Joe Green went, and that's why they're called the Mean Greens?
Wow. How about that stat right there? That's spectacular. I mean, seriously, we deserve to watch this game.
Absolutely. It is being – I will say this, and, you know, not as somebody who, you know, tells the company what to do. It's really their dime.
Yeah,
they can do what they want.
Tell the company what to do.
I would say that we are missing something here on Sunday by showing Dayton and Vanderbilt and Florida and Xavier and St. Bonaventure, Oklahoma, when we could be showing the two slowest teams in college basketball over the top of the.
You know, that question reminds me of that Nissan commercial that are out that shows the terrapin and the Big Al, the elephant.
Yeah.
They drive in.
Yeah.
And they get out of the Nissan, and the terrapin is walking in slow motion. Have you seen that yet?
Yeah.
That's what this game is.
Yeah.
I love that question. That's an excellent question. That may be worthy of keeping tabs on, seriously.
Yeah. 110.5 apparently is the number in Clark County, Nevada.
110.5.
That's it.
That is crazy.
Brian Ives, well done.
I love that.
Just really disappointed we didn't have a jersey.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.